question. Wait a minute.
What's up?
How many Nicolas Cage fans we got?
Oh, yeah. We got any Nicolas Cage fans here? Woo! All right. Let me hear it. Nicolas Cage.
Spider-Man.
How many of you guys like?
Nicolas Cage.
I don't know. All right, so the common ground then, the common question ground is, how many fans of Spider-Man Noir do we have here?
Yeah.
Okay, that was honest. I really appreciate that. You know, that was great.
How many of you guys like free stuff? All right, so here's the deal. Because there's so many of you guys in this room, what we want to do is we have stickers. I want to give each and every one of you guys stickers, but you guys got to come see us after we get done. That way, you know, we can be respectful to the other panelists that were here. We both come from music.
Yeah.
So before we go ahead and get started, if you guys have caught any panels today, last night, or going to catch any more today, please give it up for those panelists because it is really hard to do something like this.
We're standing behind the table? I don't want to stand behind the table.
Yeah, I don't want to stand behind the table either. We are kind of everywhere out. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to disrupt some comfortabilities today. Obviously, I guess we're two guys and strangers. But to quote Nicolas Cage, we have, Adam Sandler, we have the microphone so you guys will listen to every damn word we have to say. It's a joke.
So what is this, Josh?
So, okay. So, as he said, my name is Josh. This is Micah. We would be friends with you guys. Cool. Is it cool if I, like start moving around? Is that weird? Cool.
So weird.
Maybe I'll interact with you guys. So, we do a nonprofit. We do a podcast. We do a few podcasts. And we basically create content in order to educate and engage individuals like yourselves on mental health awareness and suicide prevention through pop culture. So we're going to disrupt a lot of insecurities today. Shout out to the Spider-Man back there. What's up, Tom? Are you a fan of the new suit or the old suit? Gotta keep it classic, man.
Yeah.
So how many people in here today are ready to talk about mental health? Yo, this girl right here just shot hands. I love your mask, by the way. Thank you. Because I think there's a commonality between a lot of what Peter Parker, Miles Morales, Penny Parker, what's Spider-Man's real name? Is it Porter?
Peter Parker.
Yeah. Hand in my nerd card. So that's what we're going to spend the next hour or so talking about with you guys, because we believe the more that we talk and the more that we engage with mental health, the less likely there is a stigma. So the more you engage, the more we deconstruct, the more everyone kind of feels that it's okay not to be okay. Cool?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So let's disrupt some people. Let me get some volunteers real quick. Come on. Green Hornet. Yep. You, right there. Yes. All right, cool. So I'm going to take two, and then you take two.
Okay.
Green Hornet, can I get a picture with you after this is done? I feel like we don't have enough Green Hornet cosplayers when we do this. So give it up for this guy. All right. I don't want to just, do a line. Is that cool?
We could do a line. Yeah, we could do a line.
All right. So I'll do one, you do one kind of thing?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so I want to hear from you what your relationship to Spider-Man and, like, what he means to you.
Spider-Man was one of the first superheroes I remember watching when I was a kid. He came on early in the morning at 7, and I would watch him and Bugs Bunny before going to school. So Spider-Man was one of my first superheroes I started following.
Is it 90s? Is that theme song? Chef's kiss right there. 70s. All right. We're talking like.
Yep.
I forgot about that one.
Yep.
Okay. Tight. Well. All right. Knuckles. Thank you, sir. Who we got up next?
What's your name?
Amy.
Nice to meet you, Amy. Same basic question: Spider-Man, or what he means to you?
Comics.
like just reading comics. I'm a huge comic nerd, so I was like six reading Spider-Man comics, and that was when I realized I wanted to write.
Nice.
So I write comics.
We will talk to you afterwards. That's so cool.
All right, who we got up next? What's up? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. What's your name?
I'm Ashley.
Ashley, I'm Josh. I like your tattoo right there.
Thank you.
It's a cat. Yes. God bless the feelings. Same question. What does Spider-Man mean to you?
So anytime I think of Spider-Man, I think of the one scene from the movie. Like, I used to be terrified of it when I was a kid. Of the spider bite scene. Like, I would duck in a corner and just hide.
Oh, dang. I appreciate you for being vulnerable, man. You got to see. Give it up for her. Give it up for everyone else that's come up here and stayed so far. So, hey, what's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny, what does Spider-Man mean to you?
Well, as someone who is deathly afraid of spiders, I always consider it a victory to get through a Spider-Man movie. But I also, as someone who works in mental health, I like the idea that Spider-Man is just riddled with insecurities. That Peter Parker is a deeply insecure and nervous person, but takes on the challenges despite everything else. And so I've always really appreciated the everyman kind of feel and the connecting with that and being like, you go, man, I get you.
That's so good. Yeah, the neighborhood superhero. That's so good. Yeah, so on brand. Yeah, I just want to echo what she was talking about. Like that's kind of what Spider-Man meant to me. I don't look at my arm. I may or may not have a DC logo tattoo on my right forearm. Spider-Man has always meant a lot to me as a, I'm sorry. I failed you guys. Or if I want to keep on brand, I've failed this city.
Oh.
All right. No, Spider-Man's meant a lot, man. Like, you got home from a sick and there's like, anyone grew up on the 90s cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Yeah, so like, 90s cartoon was like, sick day, Saturday mornings, like it was just such a cool escape. And like she was just saying, like he's like an everyman that kind of served as like my introduction to realize, hey, it's okay not to be okay, because like this guy's a superhero going against aliens and just otherworldly beings and mutants, and like still at the end of the day is like rising above those circumstances.
Yeah, Spider-Man, he really is. He's everyone's superhero. All right, like, he is the guy we are outside of the mask and want to be inside of the mask. And, like, that's, to me, like, that's the importance of, like, you know, a lot of the movies, like, that's what they really need to do best, I feel, is that, like, when you're Peter Parker, or when you're playing the role of Peter Parker, like, you're just one of us. You're just a dude with insecurities who, like, all right, yeah, maybe he's kind of a super genius and we don't all have that going on for us, all right? But, like, you know, you're just a dude who has a crush on a girl sometimes, you know? You're just that guy. But then you put the mask on and you accept the fact that, like, hey, I got bit by a spider and now I'm crazy. Then he's so witty, his banter is perfect. Like, that is the quintessential Spider-Man. And I think in so many ways, like, it's what a lot of us, like, want to be, struggle to be, and or kind of just are sometimes, because it's sometimes just easier to hide behind a la a podcast.
Yeah, so how many, do we have any Andrew Garfield Spider-Man fans in here?
Yeah.
The one Spider-Man that needs redemption.
Yes.
To your point, one of my favorite things about that is that in the scene, the first film, where the car is kind of going over the edge and he's like meeting the little kid and he just kind of like looks and like the kid's like so terrified because here's a guy is a masked hero that's trying to save him, but his brain just isn't comprehending it. Then he takes off the mask, and as you're saying, like he puts it on, like it's like instant bravery. It's kind of almost like again, to bring up Adam Sandler's the scene from Big Daddy where the kid has the glasses and he's just like, hey, like Sonny, like I'm a superhero now, like right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole point. It's like, yeah, like. You need to, so many of us do this, you know, we have something that, like, we hide behind, and in a weird way, it's like, it helps us process, it helps us, like, be who we think we are, who we want to be on the inside, but in another way, it's like, can be this weird kind of dangerous thing, because, like, sometimes Spider-Man is doing well, and Peter Parker's life is falling apart, you know, sometimes like, you know, like to bring up the movie, right? Because we're talking about today, we're talking about
Into the Spider-Verse.
Heck yeah, and to bring that up, it's like, on one hand, like, you're saving the city every day. On the other hand, you're like, you're gaining weight. You're like eating takeout pizza every day. You got divorced from your childhood sweetheart. Like, you know, there's so many things like we all just go through, and it's just, yeah, sometimes like, sometimes the mask is so good because it empowers us to be something that we want to believe we can be. And then sometimes it's really the only way, like, sometimes it, like, in a way, like, weirdly enough, holds us back because our real lives are just, like, you know, taking a back seat to this mask.
Yeah. And so I got to be honest with you guys. This is a safe space, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So we got off on the wrong foot. We lied to you guys. We said that this was going to be a Spider-Man podcast. We are the hosts of the Nicolas Cage podcast that we do called That's Hot Phrase. And so we were looking for an avenue to kind of meet fandom, to talk about our favorite actors. So, again, Nicolas Cage. Any fans?
Yeah! All
right. I want to give you... We have Nicolas Cage stickers, too. So I want to give each and every one of you guys Nicolas Cage stickers. But I bring Nicolas Cage up because Spider-Man Noir, who is a variation of Spider-Man from the 1930s, and any fans of, like, the noir genre,
yes.
Like, oh man. I'm gonna throw this recommendation out to you guys. Anyone who has Netflix, if you want a good noir, it's called Windfall. It just dropped last night. Jason Segel is incredible. Jesse Plemons, Lily Collins, it's very good. Anyways, my brain goes a million miles an hour when we do things like this. So, no, but you look and you kind of see, like, the each origin story of these characters and these Spider-Man variations, how they are basically characters out of time. And I think that sometimes, not just the mask, but it's also the place and the time that affects your mental health as well. Because I'll be honest with you guys, I don't think either one of us kind of walked in here this afternoon, with the best of mental health. And when you can kind of be... Put pause onto your own mental health for just a few moments and step outside of that and kind of engage with like-minded people like yourselves. Give it up for yourselves, please. Woo! It really does help to kind of recenter and refocus and kind of say it's okay. I'm going to pause and just say it's okay not to be okay. So I just want to take a brief aside real quick and kind of, that's a lot of these characters' journeys that Cage plays, Penny, Peter Porker, all of these variations on the Spider-Man characters that ultimately, when they find themselves in the land of Miles Morales and this kind of centerfold that the film takes place in, they have to learn that it's okay not to be okay. Like, even though that they might not necessarily be in the right place that they want to be, that they're still gonna be okay to move on.
Yeah, I love, so there's a scene in the movie, you know, like, if, I don't know, if you've seen it, awesome. I hope you enjoyed it, we loved it, Into the Spider-Verse. If you didn't see it, this is gonna be a spoiler, so here we go. So there's this scene right after after Miles' uncle dies, because, you know, that's a prerequisite for being Spider-Man, gotta lose an uncle. So his uncle dies, and you know, he goes back to his, like, dorm for his school or whatever, and everybody follows him, and he's like, you guys don't understand, and, like, Gwen goes, no, Miles, we're probably the only people who understand, you know, and that's, like, man, that speaks volumes. To me, that's one of the most pivotal parts of the movie, because I think a lot of times it's played up in the superhero mantra that, like, to be a superhero is to be alone. But so important, such an important driving force of this movie is that, like, in Miles' case, in Peter's case, to be a superhero does not mean to be alone. And that's something that I love about, like, going to shows, something I love about conventions. I mean, here we are, you know, is that, like, sometimes for a lot of us, we feel like this is the only place that for once we don't feel like we're alone. We don't feel misunderstood. And that to me is, like, that is the driving force of this movie. That is, like, what gives Miles, like, because even in the comic books originally, Miles Morales didn't want to be Spider-Man. he didn't want to be. He didn't want the responsibility, you know? You know, they even say at one point, like, somebody starts to say it, and I forget who it was, and then Peter's like, don't finish that. You know, and it's the idea that sometimes, like, man, it's really freaking hard to face the fact that, like, when you are who you are, you have responsibilities that only you have, and that's hard. But being in a place like this, being at shows, being, you know, surrounded by people who maybe just have the same exact words and story and superpowers that you do, like, is everything. It's so empowering.
Yeah, if I can be real with you guys for a minute, like, fandom kind of, like, saved my life. Like I said at the beginning of the panel, like, Mike and I both kind of grew up in the music scene.
Yeah, yeah.
We've played in bands, we've hosted bands, we've done everything, and a lot of that shifted for me when I was 17, and I lost someone to suicide. And I can tell you guys that I've lost other family members to cancer, car accidents, I mean, natural causes. That risk goes on and on and on. But when you lose someone to suicide, it's like the world around you just doesn't make sense anymore. And it got me kind of like refocusing, and I eventually, I started doing this, Victims and Villains, with a buddy of mine from Annapolis. And I did it to simply escape my own depression, because the podcast arena was an area where I could just strip away depression, I could strip away anxiety, I could strip away suicidal thoughts, and just get behind a microphone and just talk to people for an hour to an hour and a half. And eventually that grew into being a healing process that, much like Miles' experiences in this movie, that for me now, like, I love coming to places like this and meeting people like yourselves, because you remind me that I'm not alone. And I don't know who needs to hear that today, but you are not alone. Like, who needed to hear that today? Woo! We're not, and you never were. The statistics for suicide and depression are insane. And suicide is the, if I can, I'm just gonna steal your thunder for 1 second.
Oh, do it.
Suicide is the one thing that it never gets rid of the pain, it just forwards it to your loved ones. Mic drop. Just kidding. It's not ours. Maybe if this was mine, I would do it, but no.
Yeah, maybe not.
Well, let's get some of you guys up here. What's up? You want to come up?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get three more volunteers up here. Let's talk about Spider-Man. Mr. Fez right here. You're supposed to be Doctor Who, right? Cool. Fez is awesome.
Yes, I
am. My man back here in the cutoff, Mr. Gina. I honestly thought you were like, I saw like the little like name tag, and I thought it was like Arkham Asylum. I don't think it is. Nope.
Other jacket.
No. Let me get one more person up here, please. Young lady in the back. All right, so you want to just trade off like we did last time?
Yeah.
All right, we'll just kind of do a boost.
Cool.
All right. So, you want to do Spider-Man trivia?
Sure, we can do Spider-Man trivia. What do we got?
I've got it. I'm just going to make it up as I go.
Oh, gosh.
I need you to fact check me, all right?
All right, cool.
All right, so grab your phone.
This is what we're doing right now?
Yeah, we'll just do this. Yeah. We want to get you guys involved, all right? We believe in crowd participation here, because communities are a thing, and healthy communities are vital to mental health. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Totally.
All right, let's go for you want an easy one or you want a hard one?
Do an easy one.
All right, who created Spider-Man?
Stan Lee and Steven Ditko.
Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, can we go for a bonus round? All right, what is his first appearance?
We don't have his issue on the handle. Can't remember the issue number. I
I got Spider-Man fans behind you. It's cool, man. Give it up for him, please. Thank you. Cool. Woo. All right, so I'll let you steal the thunder. First appearance.
Amazing Fantasy. Was it 12 or 17?
Ooh, Amazing Fantasy 15.
Yes. All right, we'll get to you. All right, you ready for a harder one?
Yeah.
All right. Who created Spider-Gwen?
No.
Does anyone in here know?
The great and powerful Google knows.
What you got?
Jason Latour created Spider-Gwen.
All right. So, give it up for him. All right. So, you want to meet anyone?
I got one. Hey, I got one. Who created the Ultimate Spider-Man, Miles Morales?
Oh, Brian Michael Bendis.
That is correct. Yes.
Give it up for him. All right.
I'm gonna fail.
You want a hard one or an easy one?
Absolutely not. An easy one, please.
Easy one. All right. I'm trying to think about here. All right, have you seen Spider-Verse?
Yes.
All right, who voices Spider-Pig? Or Spider-Man?
Oh, there you go.
I don't remember that. I was more like into the artwork of Spider-Verse.
Oh, cool. Can't blame you.
I can't blame you on that one. It's John Mulaney.
Really?
Yeah, the comedian John Mulaney. Yep.
Give it up for him anyways. So, Spider-Man Noir. Can anyone actually do a Rubik's Cube? Front to back? Complete the Rubik's Cube?
We got like one person in the back.
All right, give it up for them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. But it's okay, because neither can Spider-Man Noir.
Yo, he was going to fix it, man. He was gonna go until he did it, man.
Kind of makes me want a monochrome Rubik's Cube, though.
A little bit. What's up? Do you have one with you? It's cool. Give it up for her, please. Man. Alright. So, let's get some more volunteers. Let me get 4 more volunteers.
You're not about the volunteers.
I am. Backpack in the back. I need 3 more. Skeletor. If I get any of these cosplays wrong, I apologize.
Right here.
And I think Spider-Man right there. Yeah, let's go. We got Miles Morales coming up here. All right. Give it up for Miles Morales right now.
Woo!
He understood the assignment. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question. What is your favorite version, alternate universe version of Spider-Man?
Andrew Garfield.
All right.
That's the right answer.
That is the right answer.
That's the right answer. That wasn't an opinionated question. That's the right answer.
We can make it an opinionated question. Give it up for it, please. All right, so I don't look stupid. What are you cosplaying as?
Cosplaying as Reaper from Overwatch. I just have the wrong mask.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Same question.
For me, it's probably going to have to be Miles Morales. I just always like them. I really like the modern comics of them, and I really like the Spiders.
I can agree with that. Give it up for him, please. All right, same question.
Patton Carnell from the very obscure Edge of Spider.
It was like Edge of the Spider-Verse run?
Yeah.
What was the actual, like, what was his superhero name? Do you remember?
He didn't have one.
He didn't have one?
He died.
Oh, my God.
What is it specifically about this version of Spider-Man, as obscure as it is, that makes you love this one the most?
He's creepy, and he just kind of went a different path than the other one, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Alright, so now I have to ask, as a brief aside, I love horror, so is it like borderline on that?
Yeah, I would say so. He eats people.
Sold! Alright, I know what I'm doing after this panel. Thank you, give it up for it, please. Alright, Miles, bring it home stretch. Favorite Spider-Man variation? Alright, can't argue with that, man. Give it up for this kid.
Hey, Josh.
Yo.
Who's your favorite variation on the Spider-Man.
So I get a lot of crap for this because I'm such a Nicolas Cage fan, but it is Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah, I mean, respect. That's not my favorite, but respect.
I love those, like, old-timey, classic, like, pulpy comics.
Yeah, like the Spirit, the Shadow, yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
So, like, being able to see, like, a fan favorite character like Spider-Man take on that was fascinating. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was super cool. Super, super cool. My favorite Spider variation is probably Spider-Punk, if we're being very honest. Yeah. Another Edge of a Spider-Verse character. Yeah, Spider-Punk, for sure.
Also, I love Spider-Gwen.
Yep.
Any Spider-Gwen fans in here? Wow. In here, come on. I really, really loved her. Like, her just portrayal of that character is, I don't know who writes it, but I think it's Jason Andrews, if I remember correctly.
Jason LaFleur.
I really genuinely liked her. Kind of reminded me a lot of, like, the Batgirl-Burnside one, if you ever read that.
Batgirl-Burnside, yeah.
Totally, like, they have a lot of, like, similarities, and I just really loved those, like, spins on the characters.
Yeah.
How much are we going on time?
I don't know.
Yeah. You guys are here to talk Spider-Man, right? Well, let's go. Let's talk some.
We're about 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some mental health. Is that cool with you guys? All right. So I think to kind of go back to an earlier point that we were making specifically about, like, being out of place almost, because that's kind of the journey that we go take with Miles, right? In the beginning of this, like, he's just recently kind of won this contest, and
he's going to, like, a prep school now. Yeah. Feels really out of place.
How many of you guys have ever felt out of place? Oh, yeah. Woo! Oh, yeah. And I think keep you guys' hands up, but part of the reason that, like, I came to comics was because, like, I didn't feel in place with where I was and, like, kind of growing up. I joke around with my family. I'm the black sheep of my family. I'm probably one of very few people in my family that have as many tattoos as I have. And comic books, Batman specifically, kind of came, like, a place where, like, I could escape. And then I was like, oh, man, there's conventions, like, wrapped around this idea. And cons kind of became my safe space. But for, like, a while, like, I would go through these, like, exercises day in and day out where I just didn't feel like I belonged. So, like, that kind of, like, Miles Morales tale that we kind of see in the beginning of the movie, like, I resonated with that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you see it, like, something I love about this movie, but I honestly kind of wish there was more of, is, like, you see, too, like, everybody else is feeling the same way. Like, Miles Morales identifies with his uncle because his uncle's kind of the black sheep of the family because his brother is a police officer and he's no supervillain.
Spoiler alert.
If you or someone you know is listening to this podcast right now and you're struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, we encourage you guys to please reach out. This is the heartbeat of why we do what we do. Suicide is currently the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, and as of this recording, there are 132 suicides that take place each and every day on American soil. And when you scale back internationally, there are 800,000 successful suicides. That is one death roughly every 40 seconds. So if you or someone you know is struggling, you guys can go to victimsandvillains.net/hope. That resource is going to be right in the description wherever you guys are currently listening or streaming this. There you'll find resources that include the National Suicide Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. You can also text HELP to 741-741. We also have a plethora of other resources, including churches, getting connected with counselors, LGBT resources like the Trevor Project, and also Veteran Hotline as well. Please, if you hear nothing else in the show, understand that you, yes, you listening to this right now, have value and worth. We get it. Suicide, depression, mental health, these are hard topics, and the stigma around them doesn't make it any easier. But please consider the resources right in the descriptions below, wherever you guys are listening, because Once again, you have value and you have worth, so please stay with us.
Anyway, you know, and you get to see, like, you know, even the other spider people that are like, all right, let's do this. And they, like, slam down the comic cover, and they, like, tell their origin story, you know. And I love that. I love that, like, you got to see, you know, because there's so much focus on Peter Parker. And that's great. And that's you know, we all love Peter Parker, or Peter B. Parker, or whomever. And there's a
Peter
really fun,
Porker.
Peter Parker. There's a really fun fan theory, actually, about this movie that I'll get to in a second. You know, but it's great to see, like, I'm very big about, like, B and C list comic characters. Very, very big about that. You know, and it was awesome to see so many of these characters, like Noir, get so much screen time and get to see them. Like, I wish you see, like, more of their dynamic and struggle and more of their, like, kind of DNA in the movie. Because you really don't as much. I mean, I think Spider-Man Noir has five lines. And they're all, like, gold, and they're amazing, and Nicolas Cage is flawless. But, you know, it's still, you know, like, that part of the movie, I think, is, like, I definitely wanted more depth out of. Yeah, but it's so cool to me that you get to see, like, the idea of bringing up, like, the B and C list characters, because, you know, we all feel sometimes not like A-list characters at all.
It's, yeah. I love that analogy, too, like, for context, like, his... One of his favorite superheroes is Plastic Man.
Absolutely. First funny comic book character of all time.
So just kind of giving you guys just a little bit of insight into my
hair. We're wearing red and white today.
But I think a portion of it is, you know, when you talk about being B-list and C-list characters, is that's kind of how depression kind of feels like sometimes. Like, you just kind of don't feel, like, validated, or, like, you feel like you're heard. And, man, like, that is kind of, like, how it feels to have depression. Like, I know I just said that.
But, oh, yeah.
Like, from someone that has struggled on and off with depression and anxiety for the better part of a decade now, like, I want you guys to know that, like, it's okay to have those bad days. Like, we all have them. And at the end of the day, like, I mean, you might not feel like a A-list superstar. You might not be at your Peter Parker, but yeah. Hey, you can be the best Plastic Man you can be.
That's right. Exactly. That's good, Josh. Yeah. Do you have any trivia? That's my favorite thing that you do, Josh. Trivia.
Well, my phone's currently running, so we can drop this onto our RSS feeds.
That's true.
Fair enough. So, you want to flip the roles reverse?
Sure. So, all right. So there's a really cool fan theory that I've heard about this particular movie. I don't know if you guys have heard it or into it at all. So, you know, at the beginning, there's, like, Vine and Peter Parker. And the Peter Parker Morales' universe is blonde and then dies. So, in the comic books...
He's not Chris Pine, nonetheless.
Yep. So, in the comic books, there's this big differentiator of what happens when Peter Parker gets cloned. His clone has blonde hair all throughout his run. His clone's name is Ben Reilly, the Superior Spider-Man. The Superior Spider-Man? No, it's Scarlet Spider. That's why you're here.
Shout out to that guy.
So Scarlet Spider, thank you. There's a big fan theory that movie, like that Peter Parker is not the original Peter Parker, it's Scarlet Spider Peter Parker, because there was for a while where, like, they didn't know in the comic books who was who, which was the real Peter Parker. So he didn't go by Ben Reilly at first, he went by Peter Parker. So that's really fun, and I love, like, really fun little things like that. So I don't know, what do you guys think? Would you want him to just be Morales' Spider-Man, or would you want him to be Ben Reilly?
I'd like Ben Reilly to be dead.
All right. Well, again, the honesty of this crowd is just my favorite thing.
Yeah. All right. I got some trivia. We'll give away some stickers too. Anyone want to guess? Who wants to play? All right. Cool. Let's do five. Miles Morales, come on back up. Gentleman in the back.
These two right here. Right here.
Right here?
Yes, right you, right here, and then the Spider-Man.
All right, let's go. All right. So, what is the overlapping Overlapping?
Overlapping?
I was going to say.
Do I need to fact check you?
What is the similarity? What is the overlap between Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Hawkeye?
Okay, so both take place in New York City. Wait, are you talking about the movie series or just like the character? What are you talking about?
Okay, for clarification, there is a crossover in who is in both.
Both what?
So at the end of the movie and in the Disney Plus series, there is an actor that is in both.
Spider-Man.
No. Spider-Man is not in it, but give it up for them. All right, guys, these are cool. What you got?
Haley Steinfeld.
Haley Steinfeld. Yes. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no,
all right. Miles Morales. What's up, man? Give me knuckles. All right. You got one for me?
No.
No. Okay. I'm just going to keep going through this.
We really appreciate the planet.
Yeah. This is kind of how we do things when it comes to our podcast anyway. So why should the panel be any differently for you guys? You know, we want to show you guys at our ugly side.
We want
to
get our expectations
to us. Like, oh, man, these, like, they go, like, listen to the podcast, and they're like, these guys are so professional. What the F is this? All right. What is the crossover? The singularity factor between Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and the sitcom New Girl.
I've watched the Spider-Verse, but I haven't watched the
other one. Okay. Who can answer that? Back here? Alright. I'm going to call it, that's cool.
Jake Johnson,
my unofficial man crush. And I love your shirt, by the way. Give it up for him. Give it up for Miles Morales, too. There you go. And also, yes, ma'am. All right, what's up, Tom?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
So, since, how many of you guys have seen No Way Home? All right, cool.
Okay,
this is not a spoiler.
That's
for you guys.
So good. Okay, good.
Thank you guys for doing your homework.
That's a genuine concern that I have before going into it.
All right, so in the filming of the 2002 Spider-Man, Willem Dafoe was the same age as Tobey Maguire when they filmed Spider-Man: No Way Home. What was the age?
Shut up.
Wow.
Josh, I thought you were the same age then as Tobey is now.
Yes.
Seriously?
Honestly,
subtract
43? 43.
Wow. He looks a lot older than
43. Give it up. I go for deep questions.
Yeah.
I love your shirt too, by the way. Alright. Give me something, man. Give me something.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage
is last name for real is Coppola. He changed his name to avoid appearances of nepotism because his uncle directed The Godfather. What? From whom did Nicolas Cage take his last name?
And this is Marvel too, by the way.
This is on brand.
He's Luke Cage.
Luke Cage,
correct, yes.
Wow. All right, here we go. All right, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, all right. This is the last trivia question.
All right, so in the 90s, Nicolas Cage. thank you. You're welcome. In the 90s, Nicolas Cage was cast to star in a superhero film that never saw the light. What superhero was Nicolas Cage cast as in the 90s?
Superman.
That is correct.
Superman, indeed. Give it up.
Any two other characters
Nicolas
Cage played comic-related?
Comic-related. Ghost Rider, which we have also covered, both
yep.
of them, and he also played Superman in
Teen Titans Go to the movies,
which we've also covered.
Yep.
There's another one.
I'm just going to say, I'm pretty
there's
sure there's another
one.
Kick-Ass,
that's right. God, I always forget about that
yep.
one.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
What are we doing on time?
Oh, man. We have till 3, right?
We have till 3:50.
We have 14 minutes.
14 minutes. All right. Well. All right.
Seriously, thank you guys so much for being here. This was, it was like not necessarily pre-planned. It was pre-arranged. We were booked for this, and we're super, super glad to be here. Thank you so much. I did not, honestly, genuinely, I did not expect this many people to come to this panel, and I am honestly on the moon about it. So thank you guys so much for being here. This has been so cool. Normally, realistically, what we do for this podcast is like we break apart each Nicolas Cage movie, not in order. And we just talk about like the themes of mental health throughout the movie. We talk about like, oh, how do we feel about this movie? Is this movie worthy of high praise or is it not? Sometimes we disagree, which is kind of fun.
God, those are the best podcasts.
yeah, so that's... What's my favorite Nicolas Cage movie? Oh, man. Okay, so... I need to preface. My favorite Nicolas Cage movie is not the Nicolas Cage movie I think is the best Nicolas Cage movie. It's a little bit of a guilty pleasure, a little bit of a nostalgia kind of thing. But it really is National Treasure. Because Nick Cage is he's a national treasure, Josh.
He is.
However, I know you didn't ask this, but I'm just going to put it out there. The best Nicolas Cage movie, the one that I think is the most quality that he has ever done, is Pig. Without question. Bar none.
Yeah.
His best film.
So, since there are children in this room, mine I can't talk about because it is one of his more disturbing movies.
Yep.
Directed by the late, great Joel Schumacher. God rest his soul. It's called 8mm. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you guys are curious about it, look it up. It's pretty dark, but I am going to also say that Pig is the best one out there.
It's
the
so most good.
Wholesome.
Oh my gosh.
And also, shout out to Mandy, because
Mandy's such a quality movie. Yeah. All right. So, what are you guys' favorite Nicolas Cage movies? All right.
Somehow, every time we do a panel, this is always how it turns out.
Matchstick Men.
Oh, Matchstick Men, so Man. Good.
Sweet. Anybody else?
Con Air. Yeah. All right, let me actually come to you. Who said Con Air?
Con Air.
Dyke?
National Treasure's really good.
One or two?
Honestly, both of them.
They really are.
Both of them. They are a amazing time. Who we got next? All right.
Also Con Air.
It's the hair, man. It's blowing in the wind.
Can you get to this young man here? I got Tom again.
Face Off?
Yes. Oh, Face Off!
The most redeemed movie of too. Face Off.
Yeah, I love John Travolta after he becomes Nicolas Cage. Anyone back here?
For a guilty pleasure, Vampire's Kiss.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Not one right back here. Yo, I just saw Vampire's Kiss not that long ago.
There's one called Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad is a riot. It is a fun time. Great choice. What's up?
I love that movie. I have two. It's Ghost Rider and Knowing.
Knowing is a wild movie. That movie was way heavier than I expected it to be. Such a good movie.
I got another one back
here.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, it's not a movie, but The History of Swear Words.
Yeah.
Yo, that is so good.
Somebody mentioned, I don't know who called it out, but somebody said Valley Girl? So yo, nice. Man. Yeah, that's his yo, first starring role as Nicolas Cage.
Who said Valley Girl? I have to say, we did a crossover last year.
Where we did.
We actually talked about the remake. And the remake is, for some reason, it's Logan Paul.
Okay.
And Jessica Ralph from Happy Death Day. It's a musical. Alicia Silverstone's in it, too. Highly recommend it.
It works really well. It works. It flows better than the original, despite its lack of Nicolas Cage.
We got one back here.
No, I was going to ask you what you think about his new upcoming comedy.
How would you guys like to help us get mental health resources into schools, conventions, and other events? Well, now you can. Simply go to patreon.com/victimsandvillains for as little as $1 a month. You guys can help us get mental health resources into current and upcoming generations. educate, and break down stigma surrounding mental health, suicide, and depression. And you get exclusive content that you can't get anywhere else. And you guys can tell us which Nicolas Cage movie you want us to cover, and we'll do it. All it takes to get started is to go to patreon.com/victimsandvillains, or simply click the link in the episode description wherever you guys are currently listening or streaming this episode. Pick your tier and get started today. Yes, it's that simple. So quickly select the tier that you want and help us get hope into the hands of the depressed and the suicidal today.
Oh, we will be there. Bells on opening night.
We are very excited.
The unbearable weight of massive talent. I got one right here.
Yes.
For so fast, go to the Wicker Man.
Dude, the Wicker Man.
It was all for honey. All
right, so you guys, we're all friends here, right? Yeah. All right, so how this whole Nicolas Cage podcast started was we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/victimsandvillains. Cheap plug there. All the money that we make on that goes to get mental health resources into places like this, film festivals. We are doing our first ever film festival next month, which is very exciting.
On my birthday.
It's also halfway to Halloween, so.
Oh, true.
I put on Nicolas Cage and said that we would cover everything, but the tier is called Oh No, Not the Bees, which is a Wicker Man reference. And so when you go click on it, it is the Wicker Man scene.
On a related note, what is your opinion on Simon Helberg's Nick Cage impressions?
This is
the guy from
Big Bang
Theory. Big Bang Theory, yeah.
His are the best.
It's so. I remember one time he did the Vampire's Kiss ABC scene, and he's just like, "Hey, B!" Like, it's amazing. He goes through the whole thing. It's so good.
It really is good. Him and where our name comes from is actually the Saturday Night Live weekend update skit. How much time we got left? I keep saying that.
Yeah. We have eight minutes.
All right. So here's what I want to do for the last few remaining minutes.
Cool.
We're here to talk about Spider-Man. We talked a lot about Spider-Man. We talked a lot about Nicolas Cage. But we should also, talk about mental health. That's part of the reason why we're here, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So can I give you guys some quick facts real quick?
Sure.
Quick facts. How many of you guys have ever, this is where, when I said this is a safe space and we're all friends here. How many of you guys have ever gone through depression? All right. Now, I want you guys to keep your hands up. And see how much of this applies to you. How many of you guys have ever contemplated suicide?
We're playing Never Have I Ever here. Okay.
I want you guys to look around at all the hands that are still raised right now and understand that you're, A, not alone, like we've been saying all the time. And to bring it back to Spider-Man, there's a scene in the movie where Miles kind of realizes that he's not alone. And it goes back to that scene where after his Uncle Aaron dies and he goes, Gwen basically says, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Like, if there's anyone that understands you're alone, and you're talking to two guys that host a podcast that is all about reminding people of their value, their worth, and reminding them that they're not alone. But as of, I believe, 2019, the CDC reports that there are 132 suicides that take place each and every day. And I really want you to let that sit in. That's 132 families every day that are feeling the same thing that Peter felt when he lost his Uncle Ben. That Miles felt when he lost his Uncle Aaron, or that when Gwen felt when she lost Peter. And for every successful suicide, there are 25 more being attempted, which is quite a number. There are over 800,000 successful suicides that take place each and every year internationally. Let me get a volunteer, please. Right here. Come on. I want you guys to kind of see, just really understand the weight of what the things that we're talking about and addressing here. Can you do me a favor? I'm going to hand the mic over to you, and I need you to count to 40.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Yep.
32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Thank you. Please give it up for her. That is a weird transition. But in the time that it took her to count to from 0 to 40, someone somewhere in the world took their own life. And so I think you look to things like we were talking about earlier, you look to things like Spider-Man, we look to things like Batman, we look to comic characters that we can escape to because they make us and they remind us that we're not alone. They give us strength to go on and to further pursue healing and seek out suicide prevention resources, and they remind us that we're not alone.
Yeah, honestly, like, I don't even know what I have to add. I'm just glad to be here. It's been a hard week, and I don't know if it's been a hard week for some of you, but I'm glad that you're here, because I almost wasn't. It's been amazing. Thank you guys so much again for still being here. This is That's How Great. Thank you. Not to shamelessly plug, but we do this. We do have a podcast that comes out. This particular podcast comes out once a month. Is it once or twice?
It's once or twice a month.
Well, yeah, once or twice a month. So if you're interested, you can find all of our other Nick Cage movies. Thanks for being a part of this. Come talk to us if you want.
Yeah, so real quick before we go, please give it up for yourselves. All those that just recently walked in, give it up for you guys yourselves. I want to encourage you guys that when you guys walked in here with today, maybe some of you guys are like, man, like I walked into this con because it was a last ditch effort, or I come into this because I feel more accepted. I feel like these people understand me. I feel like I have friends and I feel like I have a community. I want to encourage you guys to lean into that. And I know that sometimes fandoms can be toxic, but find the right fandoms that are going to encourage and going to uplift you guys. I can't imagine what this last hour would have been like had we not had such a great audience like you guys selves.
Yeah.
I say all of that to say this, is that you have value and you have worth. And I don't know if anyone's told you that today. I don't know if you needed to hear that. I don't know if you needed to be reminded of that. But please, whatever you walked in here with, you can leave here at the convention center. Because, well, superheroes leave their villains in the dust all the time. And I think it's time we start leaving depression and anxiety and our suicidal tendencies behind in the dust. So
we have no time.
We have no time. All right, cool. We're going to do social media plugs real quick. You guys can find us at Victims and Villains. This was a slice of That's High Praise, a Nicolas Cage podcast. We also do Abyss Gazing, a horror podcast, and we have an anime podcast called Animind that drops every other Monday. Thank you guys so much. You guys can go to victimsandvillains.net or come see me afterwards, because I also have suicide prevention resources. Thank you guys. You guys have been a great night.
And stickers.